When I was in seminary, I had the opportunity for several different field education placements. One summer, that placement took place for the entire summer in a psychiatric hospital in Boston. I was there as a chaplain, working as part of the team of chaplains in that hospital, and my charge was to every day go and visit, be present on a unit, on a floor, and just be open to whatever happened, to talk with whomever wanted to talk about whatever they wanted to talk about. And I did a rotation through that hospital, experiencing different floors, different wards, people dealing, some of them with some very serious psychiatric challenges and illnesses, some people struggling with various kinds of addictions. And these 20 years later, I still find myself remembering a few particular individuals, and including a woman I encountered one day, a woman who had had a very, very difficult life. A woman who suffered from psychiatric challenges, was in the hospital, they were trying to adjust her medication, and she was dealing with serious side effects. But in addition to all that, she was also a believing, practicing Christian. And she had questions about where was God in the midst of this ordeal. She had questions about where was she going. She could not see where this road might lead her. But perhaps most importantly, she was troubled because she felt God had abandoned her. And as a good Christian, she was worried that that was the wrong thing to feel, to worry about. She worried that she was not being a faithful Christian. She was very, very troubled by this thought. And so we talked over the course of several days. And I listened to her as she relayed these very painful experiences. Life can present those kinds of challenges, those moments when we wonder, where is God? Where we wonder, what is going on? Why are these things happening? Where will these experiences either take me or where will they end? And in the midst of those, we can find ourselves despairing. We can find ourselves hopeless. We can find ourselves confused. Yesterday, as I was thinking about today's gospel, I remembered this woman of so long ago because I think there's a connection between her experience and the experience of those first disciples, particularly the two we encounter this morning. Our gospel takes place on that first Easter day, that day of the resurrection, when two have gone from Jerusalem and are walking 7 miles to the village of Emmaus. We learn that one of them is named Cleopas. We do not know the name of the other. But they are walking and they're talking about what has happened. What has happened with this Jesus, the one that they had followed, this one who was going to redeem Israel, who was going to set them free, many of them hoped from the occupation of Rome. How could that one, the one said to be the Messiah, suffer, be killed, die? It does not make sense to them. And so it is, they're talking about this as they travel on the road and they encounter a stranger. Now you and I have the advantage of knowing from the gospel account that this stranger is Jesus. But like so many resurrection appearances, they do not recognize him. And so Jesus just casually asks, "What are you talking about? What are you discussing as you walk these 7 miles?" I find it interesting at what happens next. Before they say anything, I don't know if you notice this, before they say anything, they stop. They stop walking, they stand still, and they look sad. That question stops them in their tracks and gives them an opportunity to express to Jesus what they are thinking and feeling. And so it is that they share with him the events of the past days, how this one they had followed was crucified and is dead, but how some of the women have seen him risen, how they have seen the tomb empty but not experienced him, how they do not understand all this. They do not know what is happening. Jesus then begins to open to them the scriptures. He starts with Moses and continues by speaking of the prophets and reminding them, teaching them again how the Messiah must suffer, must die, and will rise again. That this one who has come to redeem Israel has come to do more than cast off an oppressor. This one who has come to redeem Israel has come to set everyone free from sin and death, from the power that they hold over our lives. But these things, this suffering, the death of the Messiah, must happen before he enters into his glory. As they come near the village, it looks like he's going to go on. But they invite him to stay. And in staying with them, they gather around a table and they share a meal. And in that meal, Jesus takes bread. He blesses it. He breaks it. He gives it to them. And their eyes are opened. They realize it is the risen Lord in their midst. And he vanishes from their sight. And after he vanishes, they say, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" Hearts set aflame by the experience of the risen Lord, so touching deeply their experience, touching who they are. And in that moment, in that awareness and the breaking of the bread, they move from that place of despair and hopelessness to one of belief. They realize that Jesus is risen from the dead. They have just seen him. He has come to them in the breaking open of Scripture and in the breaking of the bread. And so they immediately go back to Jerusalem and they share this news, and they find that the 11 have also seen the Lord. And they are moved from their despair and their isolation back into community, a community now rejoicing in that promise of redemption. As I have mentioned before, each day the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Cambridge offers a daily word, a daily meditation. And this morning, not accidentally, is on this gospel, and here's what it said. It's entitled Wonder. It is the larger life of victory and joy and wonder that we are invited into whenever we feel burdened by grief and guilt and loss. It is this larger life that Cleopas and his companion rushed back to Jerusalem to proclaim that they too had seen the Lord, for in the midst of defeat and sadness and bewilderment, they had found victory and joy and wonder. So it is that we are keeping these 50 days of Eastertide, this time to say, to ask, what does this mean for us? What does it mean for us that Jesus was raised from the dead? And how and where have we experienced the risen Lord? How have we, in moments when we have despaired or been confused, been lost or hurting, where have we seen the presence of the risen Christ with us? How has he come to us? How has he come to us in those moments when we didn't quite know what was happening to us? What is our experience of that presence? How do we understand this Paschal mystery? I find it interesting in today's gospel that there's choice. That Jesus makes it look like he's going off somewhere else, but they invite him to stay. And I think we have that choice of inviting Jesus in. That the gospel account this morning tells us that even in the midst of our despair and confusion, Jesus is right there. Jesus is present to us, that risen Lord in our midst. But that risen Lord waits. Force is not the way of God. That risen Lord waits for us to invite him in, to invite him to stay with us, to invite him to be present with us in those times of despair. Those disciples could have traveled on. That could have been the end of the experience. But they said yes to that invitation. They asked him to stay with them. And in the staying, they experienced the risen Lord, and they moved from their despair into joy. And in that encounter with Jesus, it's in the breaking of the bread that they have that awareness. We're told that four things happen in that meal, that Jesus takes bread, Jesus blesses bread, Jesus breaks bread, and then Jesus gives bread. This is called the fourfold action, and we see it in feeding miracles in the Gospels. We see it at the Last Supper. And we even see it in the Eucharist we are about to celebrate. Those same four actions take place in our Eucharist this morning. This is the presence of the risen Lord with us to this day, going back to Jesus and his experience with his own disciples. And together, the gospel account, this resurrection appearance, tells us it is in the Eucharist we find Jesus, encountering the risen Lord in Scripture as it is broken open to us, and then encountering that abiding presence in the Eucharist, in that bread broken and shared with us, the risen Lord with us forever. And so on this third Sunday of Easter, let us look for the risen Lord to come among us. Come among us with our friends, come among us in the presence of a stranger, for the presence of the risen Lord to be open to us in Scripture, and to always come to this table to be nourished with that food which is Jesus' own presence, his body and blood with us. And may our hearts burn within us as the Scriptures are open to us, as we see the risen Lord in the breaking of the bread. And like those two travelers to Emmaus, may we turn and run back to tell all what we have seen and heard. May we run to others and tell them, we have seen the risen Lord. Here's what has happened. Come and see. Come and experience this abiding presence of the one who was crucified, yet lives, the one who will redeem us all from the power of sin and death. Amen.